Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. That's Al Barbarino, Tony.
That's our favorite, and we love him. And still we're going to talk over him, though.
That's right. And this is Dr. Tony Shippo, who has been talking.
And that's Dr. John Palmer, who has been talking. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
And we are so excited because today is the opening day of the Year of Faith all across the Diocese of Long Island. Isn't that exciting?
That's exciting, but also we should reflect on what we're going to do about the Year of Faith. What does it mean, the Year of Faith?
Well, let's talk about it. It just so happened that this past week, on the 10th of September, in the very last issue of the Long Island Catholic, they had a wonderful article on a radio show that is called Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. And we want to publicly thank Pete Sheehan.
Thank you, Peter. You did a wonderful job. We were honored and we're actually blessed that you took the time to spend with us and watch us do our thing.
And Tony, he said that people like the banter between us. What's banter? Do you have any idea what that is?
I have no idea. All I know is like,
is it when I say that you're old,
I'm old
and you
short.
Say and short, and I say I'm a you say I'm a controller,
you're
and then
controller.
I beat you up about the chocolates that you gave me on Valentine's and being a Marine who cries.
Yes, and when I say you're also cheap,
I do what?
You're cheap.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Oh, is that what banter is?
Banter,
I thought that was just our hate talk between each other. You know, hey, listeners, you like that kind of stuff? You must be watching the presidential debates. They do that to each other. So we're just copying our leaders.
Right? But you know what? Ours is more loving than the debates.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's done with fun and friendship and love. They're done with
hostility.
Hostility.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, the Year of Faith is something that's going on all over the United States. It's not just confined to our diocese. And what it means is that following up for us on Bishop Murphy's letter, Belong to Jesus More Deeply, he now has a second pastoral letter that issues a challenge to every active Catholic on Long Island. And that second letter is, you too, get out there and evangelize.
Just like we do.
Yeah, that's why we do the show.
Just like us, I'm only looking for one convert a week.
And they stole that. They stole that.
Yeah, don't tell me that, Tom.
You know what they did? They won all the parishioners at Mass this weekend to identify one person who isn't active, who's fallen away from the church.
I told you we had a trademark that.
We should have
trademarked
that.
We could have been rich.
Stole it from us.
But you know what? I must confess. One of the secrets of my success is once in a while I take stuff from others and I twist it around a little bit.
Did you that?
Yes, once in a while.
I don't believe
but
you.
I'm confessing.
Okay, well, I'll give you absolution. Wait a minute, I'll turn my collar around.
That's just a little secret.
But you know, they not only have to just write the first name only on a card and let it be collected, but all the cards at all the masses will be kept in a special place where parishioners are being asked to pray for those people whose names are there. Isn't that great?
I really think that's really...
And they're really pushing hard during Advent, although they want us to go all year long. And what they want the person to do who has written the name of someone who's away from the church is to invite that person to come back to church with them. But not just cold, run in and run out to the parking lot and go home. But each parish is being asked to start up some sort of welcome back activity.
Don't tell me that.
Yes.
Come on, Palmer.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you. And they're leaving it up to each parish.
You mean like a sign that says, welcome new parishioners?
That's right.
And you mean like a table that gives out goodies to new parishioners, like Bibles and rosaries and saints? Is that what
you're saying? Yes. Yes. Do you know anybody who does that?
Yes, I do.
You do that at St. Catherine of Siena, just as a normal kind of activity.
Well, we do it to show appreciation to the parishioners, and we also do it to welcome back new parishioners and to show them that we're happy that they came.
And you know, Bishop Perez, the article that's under our article in the Long Island Catholic, talks about the committee with Sister Mary Alice Peel and with Monsignor Andres and Father Gerard Gentleman and Bishop Perez, who was our new bishop in our diocese, who comes from evangelization activities in Philadelphia. And he made one point, and it's in the article, and I loved it. You have to understand, you have to be ready to evangelize at any moment in your walk in time, because the Holy Spirit is nudging people to come back, and you got to be ready to bring them back.
And you know what I found? All you may need is one word or one sentence that's going to hit home with them. We signed up new parishioners just by saying, would you like to be a parishioner of this parish?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to get to know Jesus better?
Mm-hmm.
Just that one word that'll just open all doors.
And you know what I like, though? We have a new saint that's going to come alive in our, actually it's a Marian presentation. It's Our Lady of Entiments. Do you know who Our Lady of Entiments
is? No, tell me about it.
She's the one who provides cake and coffee to people who want to come and explore. So we have to pray to Our Lady of Entiments to help us.
Barbara, did you make that up?
Yeah.
You're so corny.
But you know,
that's why I love you.
But you know, Sister Mary Alice, the bishop, and the Monsignor, and the priest are all operating at the request of our bishop, is saying, I challenge each and every Catholic who is active to reach out and bring one person to church, back to church.
That's our mission statement.
I know.
They did that again.
Well, I think
secretly, more people are watching, listening to the show than we know.
I know. I think they listen and they take it. What are we going to do?
Good. Let them have it.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you know, I love that. And I put a song. You know, I love music.
Yeah. Nick knows. I know. George knows.
If I can find it, I'll be happy. But, you know, it's a perfect song for this event. It really is. But it has to do, it's written for men, but it has to do for women, too. But I didn't want to include that because the song is Stout-Hearted Men.
Oh, that one.
And, you know, and we like men who consider themselves stout-hearted, and we're not so sure that women would appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
So,
you mean a guy like me?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Become stout-hearted. Come on, guys. Join us.
Give me some man, a stout-hearted man,
come on, get up. March around. You're a member of the Army of Christ. Come on, get out there and get one person to come to church.
Watch your leg, Paula. Don't overdo it. Watch your leg. Go ahead, your leg.
Yeah, I got an idea that they really shake the boots off someone. Why don't on Sunday mornings take the Eucharist in a monstrance and march around the church so that cars passing by could see Jesus wanting to lead them into church? Wouldn't that be great?
That's
it's probably sacrilegious, but
No, that's a great door.
Why not?
That's it. What has to be done with reverence,
of course,
and has to be done with purity.
But absolutely. You know, I saw something on television, on YouTube. I love your song, but I'm tired of it. I saw
your song.
I know. Oh, it's okay. But I saw something on YouTube where somehow or other, you know how the kids meet and they do a crazy activity, they agree to meet somewhere and do a crazy at a certain time?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one parish, with their pastor, agreed to have all the parishioners meet in the town mall. And the parish pastor brought the Eucharist in the monstrance and went right to the center of the mall with the choir singing a hymn to Jesus. And you know what happened, Tony? People knelt down. They looked. Some people were crying. Other people were skeptical and walked away. But for the most part, people took such an event as being so special. You know, on Long Island, we have over 1.5 million Catholics. Could you imagine?
We have
1.5 million. And the numbers that go to Mass on Sunday, and I'm being generous, can be between 300,000 and 400,000. I figure a couple of thousand each parish, you know?
And to go a step further, you know my studies, what I've come up with, don't you?
They're all women.
Yeah.
They're all women. Only 20%,
Only 20% are men. On Sundays.
Yeah.
On weekdays, it's down to about 5-6%.
Well, I also did a mental derivation statistically, if you want. I figure in each parish, maybe about 100 people go to daily Mass. You have two Masses,
you're
maybe.
Right.
Okay, there are 135 parishes. So I figure there's 13,500 people who go to daily Mass in the diocese. That's not such a hot number.
No.
And even on Sundays, with the 300,000 or 400,000, the bigger the Joel Osteen's numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's still 1 million+ who don't go.
Okay.
And these are the ones we're after. But they may not really know enough. They may be angry. We had the whole sex abuse scandal, which we hope is being put to rest in the hearts of so many people. But we're ready now. With the new purity and the new dedication to Jesus to bring people back in a year of faith.
So part of our job is to reach those people.
That's right. That's what the bishop is talking about.
We need to reach them through the radio show, through personal contact.
Yeah. I remember listening to Bishop Murphy when he was talking at the men's conference.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that he rode around and he saw all those houses and he wondered how many with lights on at night, how many were fallen away Catholics, and how can he get them back? This is what the year of faith is about. How do we get them all back? How do we return people to where they belong, to a life with Jesus in love?
Now, this is very exciting.
It is.
I think, and it opens the doors. It opens your mind to think of ways to get people back.
And we've done that. But you know, I want to also start with the saint of the day. Because I know the saint you chose was the number one evangelizer in our church, and his words are still evangelizing people.
Yes.
Am I right?
You're right. But
you know, I'm always right. I'm not going to tell you this.
Yeah,
one time, Tony.
That's what I love about you.
Yeah, but there was one time I thought I was wrong, but I was really right. Does that count as being wrong?
Yeah, that counts.
All right, okay.
You made a mistake. That's what it counts as.
Let's hear about
Saint
Paul.
That's one of the things we banter about.
Yeah.
But you're controlled. Okay, let's hear about Saint Paul. The title of this is Shipwrecked and Imprisoned. And it's about Saint Paul. But it's not about the St. Paul that we really know or knew. It's not about the St. Paul that was confronted. It's about what happened after. What did he do? After he got the word, He went out there to evangelize. Anywhere he could. Any way he could. So, you know, this is St. Paul. He used to be called Saul. Paul was back in Jerusalem after his third journey. He made a lot of trips, and he had followers and stuff like that. And he had gone to a workshop in the temple. One day, and then naturally, many local people recognized him and started talking amongst themselves. He's the one who lets the heathen come into our place of worship. Everywhere he goes, he persuades Jews to forget about Moses and the prophets and gets them to worship that Jesus. This wasn't true, though. But within a few moments, the crowd had become an angry mob. They turned on Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and were trying to kill the poor guy. If you'll recall, the tables got a little reversed, because at the beginning, Paul did that to the Christians, didn't he? When he saw St. Stephen being stoned to death, and it excited him so much. By the way, that's another story. So, the commander of the Roman troops in the city heard that it was going on and quickly took what was going on and quickly took some officers and soldiers down to where the trouble was. He couldn't work out what the argument was all about. So, you know what? He arrested Paul. Poor guy. Said in order to protect him from the mob. Paul was kept in prison, partly for his own safety and partly because the Romans didn't properly understand why the Jews were accusing him, accusing another guy, another one, another Christian. After about 2 years, Paul demanded, as was his right as a Roman citizen, he was a Roman citizen, which meant he couldn't be crucified, to be sent to Rome and tried before the emperor. In about the year 60, Paul was sent under arrest by ship with some other prisoners to Rome. His friend Luke went with him. He was very good friends with Luke, by the way. It was autumn, and there were strong gales blowing. The Mediterranean Sea was rough. Paul suggested to the captain of this ship that they stay in port on the island and shelter there during the worst of the winter weather, but the captain of the ship thought he knew a safer place further on. Then a violent storm blew up, and it was so wet and windy that they saw neither sun nor stars for several days. They also had to throw some of their ship's equipment overboard to make the ship lighter and save it from sinking. "I'll tell you something," said Paul helpfully. "You should have listened to what I said." He wasn't popular, but then he went on to comfort them, saying he had a dream that not one of them would lose their lives and that he would stand trial before the emperor in Rome. For a fortnight, they were blown westward by the storm could not control the ship. Then one day on daybreak, they saw land. They steered the ship toward a sandy bay, but it got stuck some way offshore on a sandbag and then began to break up under the pounding of the waves. The sailors were all for killing Paul and the other prisoners, worrying that they would swim ashore and escape. But the army officer in charge of the prisoners stopped this and ordered all who would swim to head for shore. The others clung onto bits of the ship as it broke up. All 276 people on the ship on board reached the shore safely. They discovered they had landed on the island of Malta. The local people made everyone welcome. Paul healed many sick people there on the island. 3 months later, they sailed on another ship to Italy, and they went on the road to Rome. Once in Rome, Paul was allowed to rent an ordinary house and live in it, but it was still under arrest, and he had a soldier to guard him. He was allowed visitors, and many Jews came to hear him teach. He also spent most of the time writing letters to Christians in place he had visited on early journeys. This went on for 2 years. It's uncertain what happened then. He may have been put on trial, or he may have even been allowed to undertake more travels. Some say he went back to Jerusalem. Others that he visited Spain. In either case, many people believe that he was finally put to death sometime between the years 64 and 67 as a Roman citizen. He would have been executed quickly rather than suffering a painful, slow death by crucifixion. Thanks to Paul, the Christian faith had reached the great city of Rome, the heart of the mighty Roman Empire. And that was because he was determined to evangelize in the name of Jesus.
And he did. And his letters are read at Mass almost every day. And they're so inspiring. But you know, one thing worries me, Tony. All these wonderful saints and evangelizers that you talk about, they all get killed.
They die, yes, they die, but you know what? You gotta wonder. Some die singing, some die smiling, some die happy, some die joking. Like, who was roasted on a pan, and like St. Louis, and Larry, St. Lawrence.
St. Lawrence, okay.
Was roasted on a pan. And while he was being roasted, he asked him to turn him over, that it was well done.
But, you know, the only reason why I bring that up is, you know, it's very nice to say we're going to have a year of faith. I love that idea. However, you know, the people who are going to be putting their lives on the line to go out and get someone to come to church, they need help. And I and you, the two of us, you and I, sat and thought about ways to add to what the committee has come up with in the diocese. And everything we do, everything that we suggested, we came up with them separately, really,
yes,
and then shared them before the show.
Isn't it wonderful what two great minds can do?
I know.
Separately?
I know. If they'd only let us, we could take over the world. You know, come on, Tony, we can do it. But we offer suggestions. We'll go back and forth with taking turns.
Yes.
And we'll ask the people who are in charge of this for the diocese, are you interested in any of these? And can we help you get some of these things going?
Absolutely.
All right. You know I'm a big adoration man.
Yes.
I love listeners. I love going before the Eucharist for long periods of time and praying to Jesus as much as I can, almost every day. And I would love, as a way to get extra power for the evangelizers in each parish, is for the diocese to set up across each deanery. There are about four or five deaneries with around 20 to 30 parishes in them. A way to have parishes assigned one day or maybe 2 days a month where they would have 24 hours adoration. And the purpose of it is first of all, to have perpetual adoration going on all over the diocese so that all that wonderful grace can spread out. And the second is devotion to the true presence in the Eucharist would catch on, and people would be encouraged to move ahead. Some parishes are doing it already. Holy Redeemer has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week there in Freeport. St. Patrick in Glen Cove has several days when it's 24 hours and many days when it's from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I understand Fury of Ours is going to start a few days a week with perpetual adoration.
Yes.
Is there any reason why whoever is in charge of the deanery can't bring this to the pastors of the churches and ask them or direct them to take turns? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to happen? We could say our whole diocese is dedicated to the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and we're asking him to help us bring born away Catholics back home. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And you know what? It's a wonderful way to bring fallen away Catholics back to Jesus, because it's the power. It's bringing them into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus' way of talking to that person or persons that have fallen away, in Jesus' own way, in his many ways, just sitting there, I think would present.
And you know, fallen away people may not want to do that, but the evangelizers certainly could spend time in prayer and could be praying for the people, and then maybe eventually invite the person they're praying
that's
for.
That's possible, but I've seen, that's why your idea is such a great idea, I've seen distant people come to adoration, not for actual worship, I think, maybe out of curiosity, but I've seen once they've sat down and eventually closed their eyes, something was happening.
Yeah.
And I think you asked.
And you know, it's multicultural. The adoration can be done anywhere with any cultural group. I went to Holy Redeemer and one morning, and there were a group of Spanish men who were there, maybe 8 to 10 men, and they were unbelievable in the piety and the respect and the devotion they had to the Eucharist. It's wonderful.
Wonderful. But, you know, adoration can also be done privately, I think. It doesn't have to be done, I don't think, in the church.
It can be done online. There is a site called Savior.org, and they have adoration 24 hours a day online.
That's right. And I just, I have to confess, I like adoration. I like going to church and adoration, but sometimes I can't. So what I do is I do private adoration.
Okay.
And
it works.
It works.
Now you came up with an idea. You know, I gave one. Now you give one. You're in the.
Oh,
you're off,
buddy. Come on! You know I'm a Bible guy, right?
All right, Bible.
You know
guy.
I like. You know I like passages, and I like to get a feeling of what on the Old Testament and the New Testament and how they get together. One of my suggestions is that if everyone read just 15 minutes of the Bible a day, or one or two pages. Sometimes it's a little hard to read, but just one or two pages, and get a feeling of what historically went on before Jesus, and then when you get to the New Testament, after Jesus, what he did. I think that's a way of getting closer to Jesus, and I think that's a way of Jesus actually talking to us through the Bible, through the readings. And eventually, if you read 15 minutes a day, in 2 years, you'll have read the whole Bible.
Yep.
That's my goal, you know. I'm up to page 990, what do you call it? I'm almost done with the Bible.
I was waiting for the classic comic. But you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful way, and the Bible, the words, speak to your heart.
Yeah, but also, you know, everybody talks about, like, what would Jesus do? If something happens, wouldn't you want to imitate Jesus? Well, how are you going to imitate Jesus if you don't know anything about him?
Mm-hmm.
The best way is to read the scriptures. And the Old Testament, believe it or not, tells you about Jesus coming, tells you about the Blessed Mother. But you have to be able to recognize it. The New Testament, Jesus gives all his knowledge and shares all his wisdom with us.
Well, you mentioned the Blessed Mother. Well, I have a second suggestion.
Oh, it was not going to be my suggestion.
No, it's mine.
Okay, all right.
We want the bishop to encourage parishioners to foster preparation for consecration, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I tell you how to do it. You know, I'm pretty bossy, aren't I?
Yep.
You know that?
Yep.
Well, Father Hugh Gillespie has written a new version of the preparation to the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and through Mary to Jesus. And it includes special prayers on each day of the 33 days of prayer. And also on each day, there is a scriptural passage and a passage from the writings of St. Louis de Montfort and a question for journaling. And this is for anybody, but I'm thinking of the people who are going to be the evangelizers. If you really want to evangelize people to Jesus, you got to do stage one, which is clean your house. Stage two, learn about Mary. And stage three, learn about Jesus. And then you're ready for that consecration. Mm-hmm. And parishes can invite the Montfort Fathers. We have Father Hugh Gillespie, we have Father Roy at the Shrine, and others who I'm sure would love to come in and get your rosary groups into this kind of consecration. It's much better than bingo, and it's much better than playing bridge. It's bridging the gap between your prayer life and your devotion to Mary, and how, through Mary, you get a devotion to Jesus. Wouldn't that be neat?
That's a wonderful way.
I'd love to see that. It's so real.
You know, some people are doing that.
I know. We had the Agnes Dei prayer groups.
Right.
And we had over 150 of them do the consecration. And we have one group that's beginning right here in November. And they're going to have their consecration in their parish in December 8th, mm-hmm. the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. And all you women who love rosaries, why don't you go a little further and consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? It will change your whole life.
By the way, it's also good for men, you know.
It certainly is. You and I
I'm one of them. Yes.
Me too. I've done it too.
I know.
And I did it the old way, and I did it the new way, Father Hugh's book. And I'm telling you, the new way has it beat. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such, and it doesn't take time. You just half an hour a day. And it's really very simple. It becomes a way of life. It's very good.
And it also helps with adrenaline. Did you?
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
All right, your turn. You're next. What else you have? It's easy. Scripture. Yeah, go ahead. Watch.
Well, related to scripture. My other thing is, what better way to know about your Catholic faith than to read or to go to catechism? The Baltimore Catechism, whatever.
Well, it's now the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a wonderful book.
And it's got everything you could possibly ask answered in that book.
Yeah.
You have to look for it, but it's there. So my other suggestion would be possibly to read several pages of the Catholic Catechism and learn what is the church saying about certain issues. What is the church saying about moral sin? What is moral sin? What is the church saying about venial sin? And it's amazing what you, the foundation that you could build up within you by going through.
And it makes you ready for any questions that people have who are hesitant about coming back to church. You know, they have a one for teenagers. I don't know if you're aware of that, Tony.
Yeah, yes.
The bishops have written one called CATYOU, C-A-T-Y-O-U.
I didn't know that.
It's questions and answers that young people ask. And parents can go through that book and be ready for the questions of the little guys and the little gals, or the big guys and the big gals,
right,
who walked away from church.
Absolutely. I think that's a a wonderful way to build your faith foundation.
It is. I got another idea.
I do. Go ahead.
80% of the phone calls that I get at the diocese are, can you tell me where there's going to be a healing mass? And I can, and I do, and there are several of them around the diocese on a regular basis, and there are many that are done by parishes ad hoc, whenever they want. But I would love, and maybe the bishop would be interested in promoting this, each parish to have at least one mass a week with the sacrament of the anointing for those who are seriously ill. I would be one of, a lot of parishes are doing it already.
Yeah, they're starting to split. Each parish is doing one day, for doing a special mass of anointment.
And I suggested something when Father Rick Figliosi was at the Office of New Evangelization. Actually, he brought it to my attention. It's called In the Glow of Jesus. And it's an interesting program. What it entails is maybe two people, three people, four people being available after one mass on a Sunday to pray for healing with others. Not that they're big healers, but all they're doing is letting the love of God, which has come to them during each mass, which is a healing mass, and they touch the hand of a person in need and say prayers with them, whatever comes into their heart. St. Catherine of Siena is doing it on Sundays after the 9 o'clock Mass.
I've been thinking of asking if I can do it at the 8 o'clock Mass.
Yes, Curie of Ars in America is doing it after a Saturday night Mass and two Masses on Sunday. And they have several prayer teams. And I've gone there. When my wife was very ill with cancer, we went there. And they prayed for my wife. And they prayed for me. And you know what? It just felt good to know that there's another person who cares enough to spend a little extra time at Mass to share their love and knowledge of Jesus with me in my time of need. It's a wonderful thing. Parishes can do it for nothing.
I think that's a great idea.
Tony, we have 70 charismatic prayer groups all over the diocese. We have 135 rosary groups all over the diocese. We have Agnus Dei prayer groups. We have Padre Pio prayer groups.
Absolutely.
We have Divine Mercy prayer groups. We have the couples one, I can't remember now, for Mary. Teens of Our Lady. All over the diocese. If you turn those prayer warriors loose after a Mass on Sunday, you say two things. It's okay to pray for healing in the Catholic Church after regular Sunday Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, people develop a community. We're told in Scripture, lay hands on people. We don't do it enough. And people need that.
I think that's a great idea, Palmer. Wait a minute.
What?
Did I give you that idea?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just thought that.
No. You know who gave me that idea? Monsignor Figliosi.
I know.
And it's been done in other dioceses. You know the adoration thing that I mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
In Corpus Christi, Texas, they have 24 hours adoration, just like I described. The number of vocations have tripled there. Because of that.
I'm sure.
And any church that has adoration for any extended period of time, the devotion of the parishioners changes. And if you add healing masses, scripture reading, reading the catechism, consecration to Mary, and you make these programs visible, you will get the army of souls that's needed to go out there and evangelize. It's nice to have coffee and cake and welcome and to pray for people. But let's pray for the people who evangelize too, so that they get the
Absolutely.
Push and the strength. Go ahead, your turn. Come on,
well, okay. You know, it's one thing to be structured and where you would want to read the Bible every day, write a few pages a day, but you can actually make it fun. Someone taught me a game, Bible roulette.
Oh, you're not going to use that one. Good.
Yeah, I use it all the time. So this is a slant with the Bible, and you're saying, well, it's too structured reading a few pages every day. But use it, the Bible, as a means of Jesus speaking to us, of the way that Jesus can talk to us. And as I have to admit, I stole it from you. And so Bible roulette.
I got news for you. I stole it from somebody too.
But I'm thinking that if every day, instead of structurally reading two pages or three pages, you say, Jesus, what message do you want to give me today in this year of the faith? And you thumb through the Bible and you stop and you look where to the left or the right, the first way you look, and you read it. And I almost guarantee you there's a message in there for you.
You got to be careful. You got to discern to make sure that, because there's another force that's going around trying to bring us down.
But do you know, I've used it several times in my talks, and you were there at one or two of them, and you saw what the results were. So I'm just throwing that out.
I got one more. Now, you and I have been around for a number of years.
Yeah, we've been around a block a few times.
Yeah. And do you remember how many times we prayed for the conversion of Russia after Mass?
But wait, I want to preface one thing. I do remember, but I want you to know I was a little kid. I was very young then, but I do remember it.
I'm trying to picture you as a little kid. And every image I get, I start laughing. I can't be doing that, Tony.
Okay.
But listeners, what happened after Mass, and the bishop could also make this happen if he wishes to. I hope I'm not putting him on the spot, because these are just suggestions we offer. But after Mass, what we used to do, and I was a kid too, we said, St. Michael the Archangel, we said an Our Father, said a Hail Mary, and a Glory be to the Father.
Yes.
Now we could say that and petition for successful evangelization of Catholics all over the diocese. And we could take those names and put them on the altar right at the end of Mass and just say those prayers. They're not hard. You don't have to read them from anywhere. And then you have Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit on board in a very special way.
You come up with very good ideas.
Well, I've had them in the back of my head for so long.
Well, it's good to let them out.
Let them start
flying around. It's a good idea.
It does. It loosens up. Did you have another one that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I did. I did.
I can see you thinking. I can smell the wood burning.
In this year of faith, I would like to say or offer that we say a rosary every day to the Blessed Mother, specifically for the church, specifically to help protect our First Amendment rights of religious freedom.
Good.
And I would like to offer that rosary, and I'm going to practice this myself every day for that intention, that the Blessed Mother, who loves this country, would watch over this country and help protect the religious freedom that we so rightfully should have and which is guaranteed in our First Amendment.
That's a great idea. And yes, it's specific. And of course, Mary is the patron of our country.
Yes.
And patroness of our country. And it'd be wonderful to see that. I got three other quickies because we're going to run out of time. And listeners, we're telling you, go back to your parish. If they have a committee on planning activities for this year of faith. Get involved. We have some ideas, yes, but you have a lot of ideas too. Sure.
I mean, we could talk all day about this stuff.
Well, we only have about 15 minutes left, but yes, we really could.
I'm getting blamed. No, keep going. We don't stop.
I know.
This is amazing.
We are called wind-up toys. You wind them up and they keep on talking. You know?
All right, come on. Listen.
All right, let me do the quickies. I don't see why any parish can't have a seminar a month entitled, "This is What We Believe." And they can use the topics: True Presence in the Eucharist, devotion to Mary and the saints, being docile to the Holy Spirit, the healing power of prayer, Scripture as a source of life. We can do that with little or no effort. Some parishes are doing it now. For example, right now, today, there's a group in Curie of Ars, the third time I'm mentioning the parish, but it just happened that way, that's doing a day for women.
Without too many things. Oh, we know that.
Yeah. And then also out at St. Mary's in East Islip, Scott Hahn is doing a day, coming in as a speaker.
Right there,
and we have men's groups out at St. Philip and St. James having monthly meetings with speakers.
Yes.
You know, it's people are doing it. There's no reason why every parish can't get someone special in to just rebuild the energy of the parishioners. My parish in St. Mary's gave out the book by Matthew Kelly, Rediscovering Catholicism. And it was given to every family. And then the priests on Sundays talked to the book. Now, isn't that a simple thing to do?
Wow.
And it's very powerful. Matthew Kelly is going to be out at St. James in Setauka next Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, when is Reale going to be?
Michael Reale with the glove of Padre Pio is going to appeal. It's going to be at Living Waters, St. Elizabeth in Melville next Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason why parishes can't do that. Some of them are doing it already through faith formation. God bless Sister Mary Alice Peel with all the things that she gets people to do. She's a dynamo. She goes after them, and they do it.
And that's what brings people closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
It brings people closer to the church.
I got two more. I want to see parishes use technology to attract young people. For example, social networks. Why can't you start, each parish start a social network for the young people? And why can't there be social events in each parish? I got people in practice in their 20s and 30s. They can't go to meet anyone outside of at a bar. And what are you going to get there? You're going to get a hangover.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know, they're already starting that.
I know.
You're a little behind your time.
I know, but I want more. I want more.
St. Catherine's doing it.
I know.
She's doing a wonderful job with the young parishioners and the teenagers. A wonderful job.
And Marianne Sheridan's doing it with the young adults,
great,
with the Faith on Tap.
Yes,
and there is also the night where they have adoration for the young people at St. In Hicksville, parish in Hicksville.
Do you remember when we spoke at the
Faith on Tap?
Yeah. You do remember?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, if we get the young people aware of what's online, maybe they would look at that instead of the drivel that they do look at.
True.
You know? And there's no reason why church music can't be out there. It's out there already.
Oh, absolutely.
Devotion to the Sacred Heart. So many things are already online. Pray as you go. Sacred space where people can just go online.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be just young people. Last but not least, I'm rushing, I know.
Don't rush.
We have wonderful music ministries in every parish. We have choirs and we have contemporary groups. Why can't once a month a contemporary group or a choir do a Sunday afternoon song fest with hymns followed by Our Lady of Entenements with coffee cake and some coffee?
just the same.
Yeah, I know. But the idea is, you know, just to build community. In community, there's strength.
Oh, yes.
And if people get into a community, they will come back again and again. And they may come back just because the girl is a good-looking girl. But eventually, the spirit will get into them.
Absolutely. And you know what? I do see people looking for communities.
Yeah.
I do see them.
Yeah.
You remember when we did the seminar about prayer groups?
Yeah. And life in the spirit. Yeah.
Life in the spirit, prayer groups. And our particular prayer group had, I think, 6 people join the next week from that were at that thing. So people are looking for ways to get closer to Jesus and to God. They just need to be pushed a little bit.
I have one last thing.
You said your last
thing. I know, but I forgot this. Besides Telecare putting stuff on, they can do these monthly seminars on Telecare on a regular basis. This is what we believe. And I give half-hour talks. Why not? People are hungry for it. You have mass on there all the time, and nobody knows what's going on. You can put closed caption under each mass and do it live, and people understand what's happening. Use it. It's in the homes. I am upset that the Long Island Catholic is turning into a monthly magazine.
Yeah.
I love that physical presence in every household. That was a tool for evangelization.
It's great articles.
Yeah.
They had every week there was an article explaining the scriptures that you were going to hear on Sunday. Every week. And where am I going to get that now?
Well, they're going to have a monthly magazine, but it's not the same. I'm sorry. And I loved Pete Sheen, and I loved Mary, I think, McGorry, I think her name was. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful writers. Why don't you hire them back and let them do their articles by technology off the diocesan website?
And they were so dedicated.
Oh, wonderful.
Dedicated. When he interviewed us, he did it so with such love and dedication. I was really taken by it.
And there are wonderful columns by priests. And you get
that.
It was wonderful to see that.
Yes, every week was a different priest.
Well, my last pièce de résistance. You like that?
Yes, I do.
Pièce de résistance.
I like that.
I studied French. I can't speak a word of it.
Did you really? Me too.
Yeah, I was going to be a French teacher.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, but I could never speak it. My head is such that it doesn't bounce. Anyway, I would like, at the end of the year of faith, to do a blowout day at St. Anthony's High School in Huntington, as was done last Pentecost, where we bring as many people from the diocese to a full day of thanksgiving for evangelizing the Catholics in our diocese. Wouldn't that be something special?
And can I add something to that?
Sure. No, you can't.
Please, there should be, at the end of the faith year, there should be a special session at the St. Anthony's that you're talking about.
Yeah.
For everyone that came back to the church.
Yeah.
Everyone that came back to God, everyone that came back to Jesus, let them sit in a special session.
Well,
and be honest.
I originally was putting down the Nassau Coliseum, but I kind of went too overboard.
Okay.
You know, because when but you know what?
What do you think? You like that idea?
Yeah.
Take that in your idea?
Yeah, sure, why not?
You can have it.
Listeners, what we're going to do, we're going to take these ideas, put them on a CD, and send it to the bishops. And we're going to ask them, listen, can any of these things happen? And we will offer our little tiny radio show to help promote any and all activities.
Absolutely.
All through the diocese.
Absolutely.
Do you realize how much can happen with the words from Scripture that are in this song?
Oh, yeah, a little radio show.
Well, be not afraid, folks. Be not afraid. Reach out.
Shall see the words in foreign lands and warring
In your heart, and all you got to do is sign it.
I'm signing up.
But you know, this is for everybody, every cultural group, everything. Listen to Al Barberino take us off the air with a Labarade. Everybody, join the party. Evangelize the diocese.
And praise Jesus. And
amen.
Thanks for listening. God bless you, listeners.
You may not be around long enough to hear the words because we're running out of time. But jump up and down, you can imagine.
I lead.